Today we continue with our study of our Articles of Faith, which are brief expressions of what we understand the Word of God to teach about certain major doctrinal issues. Now, most every church or denomination has some type of written doctrinal statement that states or explains what they believe. Now, these statements have several functions, but one in particular is to help us keep on track when confronted with some type of error. If we are grounded in the truth, then we will be in a much better position to detect error when confronted with it. And this is one of the things that Articles of Faith do. If we know them, if we study them, we will not only know truth, but we will be able to detect error. And there's a lot of error being promoted in Christian circles today. And I'm not just talking about obvious differences between conservative evangelical churches in terms of denominations, but there are several false teachings that has found its way into mainstream Christianity. So it's important to have as much understanding of basic Christian doctrine that you can. Doctrine is an important foundation for the Christian life, and especially for the church. Now, our study today focuses on the doctrines of perseverance and preservation. Both are an important feature of genuine salvation. To learn more, we invite you to join with us for today's study. But first, let's be encouraged by the special musical presentation, Great is Thy Faithfulness, by Judy Williams.
Great is Thy faithfulness.
Fail not, as thou.
Our article of faith today expresses in very broad terms what we believe about the perseverance and preservation of the saints of God. Our article of faith states, we believe that all who are regenerated, effectually called, will be finally saved. No one can be finally lost. Again, in general, this relates to what is known as the final preservation of the saints and or the final perseverance of the saints. Now, this specific article of faith makes two assertions. First of all, it states that all who are effectually called will be finally saved. Secondly, it expresses the fact that all who are effectually called cannot be finally lost. Now, the point is not simply that the effectually called are finally saved, but that it is an impossibility for them not to be finally saved. The objects under consideration here are those that God the Father has chosen, those that God the Son has redeemed, and those that God the Holy Spirit has effectually called. This number is definite and unalterable. It cannot be changed in any way. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30, by inspiration, Paul writes, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Now, the focus of this article of faith is on the absolute certainty that what God has begun in terms of purpose and process regarding his plan of salvation, he will bring it to a complete and final end. In John chapter 6, verses 37 and 39, Jesus states, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, the issue here is on the permanency of one's salvation. Sometimes we refer to it as the eternal security of the believer, or sometimes even once saved, always saved. This simply means that once an individual comes into possession of eternal salvation, that person cannot lose their salvation under any circumstance. Now, at this point, perhaps it would be well for us to discuss something about terminology or meaning. First of all, let's look at this idea of the perseverance of the saints. One writer describes it as that all those who are truly born again will be kept by God's power and will persevere as Christians until the end of their lives, and that only those who persevere unto the end have been truly born again. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, the second phrase that we want to look at is the preservation of the saints. It's been said that the preservation of the saints refers to the power and activity of God in keeping or sustaining his people in a state of grace or in a state of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, these two phrases generally fall under the subject matter of the efficacy of one's eternal salvation. That is, what we generally refer to as eternal security, or again, once saved, always saved. Both preservation and perseverance have this concept in mind, but from a somewhat different perspective. Preservation is practically synonymous with eternal security in the sense that it stresses the work of God in preserving elect believers in their salvation. In Jude, the first two verses, it states, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who were called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." The term preserved comes from a root word meaning a watch, and it speaks of guarding from loss or injury. The implication is that this guarding is by keeping the eye upon. Related terms include hold fast and keep. Thayer's dictionary indicates that the term means to attend to carefully, take care of, to guard. Metaphorically, it means to keep one in the state in which he is. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The term "kept" here means to be a watcher in advance, that is, to mount guard as a sentinel, as in posting spies at the gate. Figuratively, it means to protect or to hem in. One writer, Wayne Grudem, states that the word can mean both kept from escaping and protected from attack. And perhaps both kinds of guarding are intended here. God is preserving believers from escaping out of his kingdom, and he is protecting them from external attacks. Now, perseverance tends to focus on the believer within the realm of the experience of his salvation. Strictly speaking, it is the believer who perseveres. However, we cannot speak of perseverance in isolation from God's work of preservation. Preservation speaks largely of the final objective in God's purpose of grace. However, it also includes the persevering power of God to reach that end. Notice that our article of faith uses the term "finally" twice. The first is used in a positive sense, and the other is used in a negative sense. Again, our article of faith states, "will be finally saved, and no one can be finally lost." An illustration can be seen in a jar that is used to make preserves. There is a unique relationship that exists between that which preserves and that which is being preserved. God is the preserver. Elect believers are the preservees, the ones being preserved. Therefore, perseverance relates primarily to our experience in the process of preservation. For example, when someone makes preserves and puts them away in storage until ready for use, the success of their preservational skills depends on the fact that these preserves persevere. That is, when you open them for use. In the meantime, if in the middle of the night you begin to hear loud explosions and the breaking of glass, one may have a sneaky suspicion that their preserves did not persevere. That is, they did not make it. Believers, those who have been truly born again, will persevere in faith. And this is only true because of the preserving power of God. Now, however, this does not mean that authentic believers will not experience setbacks, sometimes very serious setbacks, times of doubt and frustration, or periods of backsliding. But it does mean that we can never completely or finally fall away from God's grace to the point of actually losing our salvation. The well-known Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon writes that a man on board a ship may be knocked down on the deck by the waves again and again, but he is never washed overboard. Now, the Scriptures clearly teach that those who are truly called of God will persevere to the end. And the nature of this perseverance is in the continuance of faith. We are not only saved by grace through faith, based on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, but the just are to live by faith, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, God's power keeps us through faith, not apart from our faith. Only elect believers have true saving faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which accords with godliness. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, Paul states, And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. True believers must and will persevere in faith. This is the nature and evidence of the calling grace of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, Jesus says, But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, there are many passages in Scripture that provide both the promise and the warning aspects of perseverance. Wayne Grudem indicates that in some evangelical churches, instead of teaching the full and balanced presentation of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, pastors have sometimes taught a watered-down version, which in effect tells people that all who have once made a profession of faith and have been baptized are eternally secure. The result is that some people who are not genuinely converted at all may come forward at the end of an evangelistic sermon to profess faith in Christ and may be baptized shortly after that, but then they leave the fellowship of the church and live a life no different than the one they lived before they gained this, quote, eternal security. In this way, people are given false assurance and are being cruelly deceived into thinking that they are going to heaven when in fact they are not. Now, people can have false assurance. God's purpose in salvation has moral dimensions, and this includes holiness, faith, and love. The contrast of these moral dimensions reveal a heart that has not been changed. Perseverance is not a work that merits salvation, but it is a work of grace that guarantees salvation. Remember, faith is the gift of God to sinners. Faith is not our gift to God. Faith is graciously given by God in regeneration, and it comes out in response to the call of the gospel. Now, when you begin to speak about these things, there are certain objections that people raise. For example, some people ask, what seem to have had an experience of grace, but who have apparently abandoned the Christian faith? Well, in response to this, it may be, first of all, that they were Christians. But it may be that they have been in the middle of a serious setback or some great sin. However, if they are true Christians, God will renew them to repentance. That is, He will bring them back. He will not abandon them and leave them forsaken. Or it could be that these individuals are non-Christians. That is, they were never saved to begin with. They only went through the external process without any true change of heart by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now the comfort of perseverance and preservation comes out in several key passages of Scripture. For example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, "We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." In Psalm 37 and verse 28, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever." And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39, "We," that is, elect believers, "are not of them," that is, false professors, "who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul." And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul states, "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." T.P. Simmons says that this sealing is nothing less than the abiding and inseparable presence of the Spirit in the heart of the believer, by which the believer is constrained to persevere in faith and righteousness. The doctrines of perseverance and preservation are great doctrines of assurance when rightly understood. They bring great comfort, but they also bring with it a serious warning when it comes to presumption are assuming your salvation, which is not based upon biblical facts and reality. The elect of God will persevere unto the end because we are in a state of God's preserving grace. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.